I don't know if you know him as a waymaker, but I know I do. See, I don't know if he's done anything for you, but I know he's done something for me, amen? You know, I wish I had somebody that wanted to praise him this morning with me. I wish I had somebody this morning that wanted to worship him with me. See, you act like you got up on your own this morning. But I got a news flash for you. You didn't. See, he made a way for you. See, you might not feel like it was a way, but it was a way. You might not understand the plan, but he made a way for you anyway. So you might as well lift up your voice and give him some praise. You might as well clap your hands. You might as well just praise him. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for us. Hallelujah. See, we don't know the plan all the time. But let's worship him this morning. Let's magnify him this morning. Let's exalt him this morning. Hallelujah. Because you're both up. Because you can breathe this morning. This is probably a little different for most of you, but it has a point, right? So you can turn your Bibles to Luke 9 and 1. We'll stand and read that in a minute. I need you to pass out this to everybody on this side of the room. And I need you to pass this out to everybody on that side of the room, okay? You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start with the very first verse. These elders are passing out something, and then we're, as they do that, we'll stand, if you don't mind, and we're gonna read the Word of God. Luke 9 and 1, and we're going through verse 3, okay? If you haven't, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Let us pray this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. We know that we're not always faithful, but you are. We thank you for that, Lord. But we thank you that, you know, for darkness, you being our light, Lord. We know that within you, through you, we can do all things, Lord. Lord, we ask as your word comes forth today, Lord, that you open every heart here this morning. Get those things that occupy our minds, that worry us, Lord, we turn them over to you this morning, Lord. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all those that made it here today, Lord. We ask that you impart to their spirit what they need, Lord, to be able to just lift you up and magnify you. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Okay, so the ushers are passing out some money to you, okay? Now, if you're on this side of the room, you got a penny, okay? And on this side of the room, you got $1 million, right? That just happened. So, look, it's where you sit. Don't blame me. You know? So, you got a $1 million on one side of the room. So, I want you to just imagine something with me. Okay? I want you to imagine something with me. So, here's what's going to happen. You are instant millionaires over here. Okay? On this side of the room, you know, don't look like happy millionaires. That must be play money. Man, you are instant millionaires on this side of the room. Hey, man. All right. Okay, on this side of the room, thank you. On this side of the room, I need you to work 10 hours a day, but I'll count today. You got your first payment of a penny. Okay? We're going to double it every day for the next 31 days. So on day two, you'll get 2 cents, and day four, you'll get 4 cents. I like that, you know, so hopefully you do too. Hopefully I see you over the next 31 days. Now, I want you to imagine with me that's actually true, and this is the offer that you were made.
Come on now.
We're gonna make you a millionaire too. Okay, we'll make you a millionaire, okay? I want you to imagine that. So let's walk through it psychologically. Let's start with the millionaires in the room, okay? So, okay. This is what some of these Facebook posts will look like from these millionaires. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Guess what? What do these Facebook posts like? Some of them will look like this. You see, because money, sometimes if you don't have things going on right in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to do what you're not supposed to do. See, a lot of times we want things from God that we're not even ready to handle. We like pray, God, please send me this, send me this. Okay. Well, sometimes that's the result of it, right? You know, I want you to imagine, how hard is it paying those tithes, these millionaires? You got $100,000 you need to pay in tithes. Man, we can't pay tithes on $10. So now we talk about $1 million? $100,000. So you might think like, oh, that's easy. Okay. $100,000 paying tithes on that. See, God answered your prayers. You got this $1 million, but you also have a responsibility. How big do you see yourself writing? You see yourself writing that check out for $100,000? Probably pretty tough, right? You know, I saw a church that was suing a lottery winner over not tithing. You know, there's a church that was suing a lottery winner because they didn't tithe on those. She won like some $10 million or something. The church, like, we counted that. You know, we made plans. That's what the pastor did. They said we made plans for that money. So I know you might think it's easy, but boy, you start having to write $100,000. It's a little bit tough. Speaking of lottery winners, 70% of lottery winners go bankrupt. Why do you think that is? Because I'll tell you why. Because the life is not set up to be able to handle that. So what they do is they spend and spend and spend. Their bad financial habits are on top. Now they're just magnified. They just are. That's what happens. They're just magnified. You know, we ask ourselves for blessings, whether money or any other things in our lives. We ask for these things. We're like, Lord, please, please, please. But I ask, are you ready to handle it this morning? Yeah. That blessing that you're asking for, are you ready to handle it in your life? How does your church life look after today, millionaires? You want $1 million. Are we going to see you again? I mean, let's keep it real. You coming back? Like, you got $1 million. God, you just did everything I need you to do. Thank you, Lord. How are you going to be better as a result of this $1 million God gave you? How are you going to serve him better? You're like, man, I'm still buying my car and my house in my head. That's what a lot of people do. But how are you going to serve God better by this? What do your conversations with God look like? Now, you just got $1 million. What's that talk with God like? Are you thanking him? Are you praising him? It's a lot easier when you got a little bit of money to raise him up and lift him up, isn't it? You got a little money, you're like, thank you, God. You're awesome. See, a lot of times it's a little bit easier for us to react when we've already had the outcome.
Yeah.
Knowing How do you feel about the people that got the pennies? See, you're on this side. You're a millionaire. How do you feel when you look across the aisle? Do you feel anything, any empathy, any anything? They're like, mm-mm. No, but you do. I'm sure you do. You feel something, right? Like, there's something that you have to feel when you look across and you say, man, because the seat I sat in today, God has blessed me, you know? Like, but sometimes it feels like that's what happens. Like, man, they were in the right place at the right time. Man, the seat I sat in, man, cost me all this money. That's what it feels like sometimes. Let's talk about those of you with a penny. Let's talk about that. Guess what? Your Facebook posts probably look the same. You're like, man, I sat on the wrong side of the room. Here we go. This probably looks identical. So something, if it's in you, we can't avoid that. We ain't gonna avoid that. So that'll cover every side, I guess. You know. What does it look like really? These are my favorite right here. It hurts, but it's okay. I'm used to it. Nothing good ever happens to me. Well, he woke you up this morning. Yeah. You know, see, a lot of times we forget that part of it. We're like, I don't know. I could have had $1 million today. Instead, I got a penny, and I got to work 10 hours tomorrow for two of them. You know? Like, come on. You know? Is it hard to tithe in your life based on this injustice that you've just got? People on the other side, if you got $1 million, your check is $100, you want to give God that $10? Now, you're like, God, you gave them millions, and I couldn't get none of it? Is your life different now? Do you think differently about tithing now because you weren't blessed how you thought you should be? A life-changing moment has slipped away from you. How can you handle that adversity? How can you handle it? Like, how are you dealing with it? I want you to think about that. I want you to just go with me conceptually. I know it's a little bit hard and it's extreme, but I want you to think about that. How do you recover from that? When everything you've been praying, folks, a lot of times we're praying for money. You sat in a seat, and to make it worse, somebody was in your regular seat. And now you sat somewhere you wouldn't even normally sit, and you know, you ain't got your money. Man, that's what happens. That's what it feels like. So this next 31 days, how many are you willing to come to work? We working. We digging. We doing all kind of stuff. We having fun, but we working 10 hours a day. How many days are you willing to work? Some of y'all are like, man, after today, you won't see me. Right? What is your talk with God like? What is that like? Is it moaning? Is it complaining? Is it, oh, God, you don't look out for me? How did this happen? If I come back next week, you're going to do the other side? I bet when you come in here the next time, you're going to choose your seat wisely. It ain't gonna be mindless. You're gonna be like, okay, let me see, where am I sitting again? You're gonna be looking under these chairs and everything else, praying. Are you truly happy for the millionaires? Are you? Like, and it's okay if you're not, but let's think about it. Are we truly happy for the people in our lives that when they have something good happen to them? Are we happy for them? Are we like, are you thinking like, well, maybe they'll give me some money? You know, are you that fake happy? Or are you real happy? Like, look, God just blessed half the room. Yes. That is a blessing. Yeah. But guess what? A lot of times we're like, oh, man, it ain't me. It didn't happen. Are you happy for them or are you sad for yourself? See, it could have been a moment of rejoicing that we had this morning. But instead, we start comparing ourselves and it just don't seem good enough. Amen? Let's talk about the Bible. Let's deal with the Bible on this. Let's go to Luke 9, verse 1. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. We're going to deal with this money thing later. But let's break down these words. Jesus gave them, that's in verse 1, he gave them power. But he gave them inherent power. The power to reproduce itself. I want you to think about that. Jesus sat with the 12 disciples, and he gave them inherent power. That was power that they didn't have to go back to him to get recharged. He gave them power to that reproduces itself. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
He gave them authority. Not just any old authority, right? He gave them the liberty and the right to put forth that power.
Right.
See, not only did he give them inherent power, he gave them the right to be able to use that power. So with power and authority, he qualified and authorized them.
Yeah.
See, he made them qualify and he authorized them to use that power. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Amen. We got a couple more words here in verse 1 we're going to break down. Over. See, over is downward pressure.
Right.
Downward pressure and active motion is being suggested. So they had power over. You know, see, we have power over things in our lives, but it feels like it's coming from up. And instead of us pushing down where it's a lot easier to get rid of it, we're covering up. Amen? He gave them power over any devils, like demons. Any demons, anything to come up against you, he gave them power over them. We have the same power, amen?
Amen?
See, when you see cure, cure doesn't actually mean cure. See, curing is a restoration of health, an absence of symptoms, and a remedy of disease. See, he didn't give them the ability to cure. Cure is translated heal. See, Jesus gave them healing power.
Man.
Healing being a restoration of wholeness.
Right.
Not to the level before the diagnosis, but better than before.
Come on.
See, healing transcends just the physical.
Come on.
It includes mental, emotional, and spiritual. Yeah. See, Jesus sitting with these 12 disciples, you might read cure, but what it is saying is he gave them healing power. See, I don't know about you, but I get excited because Jesus knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He had a plan.
Yes. Yes.
Let's look at verse 2. It says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's a couple words here we need to break down. Preach the word. Preach means to proclaim. See, proclaim or to announce.
Yeah, right.
See, this was something different for them. This was something different for the world. The world was about to see something different. So there was an announcement that needed to be made. See, I don't know. Maybe it's just me that gets excited about that. But Jesus had a plan from the very beginning.
Amen.
So what were they announcing? They were announcing the kingdom of God. See, there was something new happening. See, God is the ruler. Let's just make that clear. God is the ruler. And there was more things on top of the things that you see on the screen. But I love the fact that he was saying this wasn't a flavor of the day thing because this is eternal in duration.
Amen.
See, this wasn't just some new thing that was going to fade away like the latest trend. This was eternal in duration. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I love the fact that he did that. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this word opportunity. Think about these 12 disciples. They had an opportunity that we'll never see again. Think about that. To walk with Jesus in the flesh, up close and personal. Only 12 people in history were able to be called to be disciples. See, there's no comparison to what I think the opportunity, like anybody looking at this on the surface, the opportunity seems clear to me, amen? It seems like if you're one of these disciples, you know that this is an opportunity of a lifetime.
Right.
See, it's better than the people that got $1 million this morning.
Yeah.
See, some of you might rather have that $1 million, but an up close and personal walk with Jesus is far better than that.
Amen.
How many times has opportunity been staring at you and you just haven't recognized it? See, because I'm sure these disciples were looking, and they probably didn't understand the awesome power of Jesus at that time. They probably didn't get it. They probably took it for granted like we do in our lives. We opportunity happens, and we're like, oh, we don't recognize it. We ain't happy with it. It's not wrapped how we think it should be wrapped, so we're like, oh, I don't know about this guy. Or my favorite, oh, that ain't God. That ain't God. Oh, that ain't God. See, we try to talk ourselves out of things like that.
Amen.
You know, see, God has given each and every one of us an opportunity. But sometimes it doesn't feel like opportunity. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Read this. Think about what this is. I want you to look at this. See, if you're like me when you read this the first time, you probably see opportunity is nowhere. But it really says opportunity is now here. See, how you look at opportunity matters. See, the same two people can be presented the same thing and see two different things. Opportunity is nowhere. That's how some of you look at it. Oh, this ain't opportunity. This ain't nothing happening. Opportunity is now here. Amen?
Amen.
You might not recognize this guy. You probably haven't. I think I'm the only person in the room that knows him. His name is Jamal Burchard. Back in 2011, I worked with Jamal. I recently had lunch with him. He lives in Pennsylvania, and I recently had lunch with him. And back in 2010, 2011, he moved to Pennsylvania, and I had lunch with him. He said, hey, I'm in town for an audition. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, all right, well, cool. Like, let's have lunch. So I had lunch with him. Now, when I tell you, the last person in the room to talk, this is the last person in the room to talk. I mean, he'll be in the room for 3 days and he won't say nothing to you. He quiet. He real quiet. I worked with him and boy, he barely said anything and his job was to talk on the phone for a living. I mean, it was unbelievable. You barely heard him. Now, I had lunch with him and something happened. In December 2017, they were shooting a movie in his town. So he decided he was going to email the director of the movie. And so he emailed him this picture right here. And he said, hey, do you have room for a guy like me? Or do you need a guy like me? I thought that was a little weird when he was telling me about it. I was like, oh, he emailed the director. What's the director? M. Night Shyamalan, or some Oscar-nominated director. And it was the movie Glass that was being filmed in his town, a small town in Pennsylvania. And he emailed the director and said, do you have room for a guy like me? Director emailed him back within 15 minutes and said, as a matter of fact, I do. Show up Saturday at 10 a.m. to be in a movie. He had no acting experience, no credentials, no anything. But guess what? He found himself on a movie set standing next to Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy we ain't act like we know who he was. Oh, what, is that Christian? Is that somebody else? Yeah, amen for that. Okay. He found himself standing next to Samuel L. Jackson. So, the crazy part is, now, he's been in 29 different movies or television shows.
Wow.
Now, guess what? He ain't, none of his parts, they don't have no name. They're like, hey, he like pizza guy or delivery guy. Or he ain't got no name, but guess what? He was able to quit his job because he has no agent, nobody representing him. Oh. People are calling him to be in things. So much he had to quit his job.
Wow.
And so now he makes more money. He acts. He loves what he does. You know. And God, see, but sometimes action is required of us and we don't want to take no action. Yeah. See, we don't want to send no email because we think, I ain't nothing going to happen with that. Yeah. Oh, it'll, somebody will say no. Who would that happen to? See, God has opportunity wrapped up for you as well. But are you looking at opportunity as nowhere or are you looking at opportunity as now here?
Amen.
See, God requires something of us. See, it's easy for us to say, you know, wait on God and say, please, God, do something for me, do something for me. Well, what are you willing to do for God?
Amen.
Are you willing to take some action and be able to give him a platform to be able to move? Or are you just waiting on something to happen each time? Amen?
Amen.
Let's get into verse 3. Okay? Verse 3, it says, and he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Now, real quick, I want to talk to you before we get into verse 3, actually, about opportunity. See, I had a similar experience in my business with real estate. See, I had been praying to God. God, please help me. Please, you know what's going on. God, I need. You know, I don't know if that's familiar with you. That was what my prayer. God, you know, come on now. You see me, I'm out here trying to do something. You know, I'm trying to justify myself to God. Come on, man, you know. I mean, it's me. And I'm praying. God, I need you to move. I need your help. You know, same old prayer every single day. God, I ain't going to pray for me today. And then by the end of the prayer, I'm praying for me. You know, I'm happy somebody knows what I'm talking about. You know, and so, you know, I'm in the real estate business. And I'm just praying, God, I need house. Open doors. Do this. Do that. Do this. And I tell you what. What happened was, I decided, you know what, God, I'm going to take some action. It's time for me to do something. I'm always begging. Let me go out here and do something. And I tell you, in the last 2.5 weeks, I bought 6 houses and 4 vacant lots. By me actually taking some action. So I started sending out postcards and people were calling me. And man, they're selling me their houses. And it was just unbelievable. Before, all I did was pray, God, come on, open doors. See, the opportunity was there, but I was not seizing the opportunity. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. See, now we're getting to verse 3. I love this verse, but it should be much shorter. It should really be. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, period. Because that's clear.
Yeah.
But see, God knows how we are, so he had to be a little bit more clear for us. See, he said, take nothing for your journey, period. What's verse 4? That's what it should be. But see, God had to get a little bit, Jesus had to get a little bit more detail with them. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know if he has to do that with you sometime, but he has to do that with me sometime. And he says, he says, no script, meaning no written word. Right, so you don't need to take nothing in writing. You don't need to take. See, you don't need to take nothing in writing. You don't need to take a money bag. You don't need no money bag. You know, like God was telling them that you don't need food. You don't need money. You only need one coat. You don't need two. God was making it clear. See, the reason why I love this verse is because it's Jesus saying, "I got you." I got you.
Amen.
Like, see, a lot of times we can't move because we got our baggage with us. Yeah. He was telling them, leave your baggage. Amen. You don't need anything for this journey I'm taking you on. Got you.
Come on.
See, God has you as well. It don't feel like that, but when you got to move, you start to think about all this stuff. Oh, God, but I didn't finish college. I got you. Oh, God, I don't have enough money. I got you. God, oh, you know, these bills are just weighing me down. God, I got you.
All right.
See, we got to stop moving this baggage with us, and sometimes we just got to leave it there.
Yeah. Amen.
What journey is God trying to send you on right now?
Amen.
But you're trying to figure out all the particulars before you move. You're like, God, well, what about this and what about that? When the moving God's showing up? When the door is going to be opening, he's got you. See, take action. Opportunity is there. There's something in each and every one of our lives that we need to take action on. And it's there. And we got to leave that baggage behind and let God move.
Yeah.
See, we can all agree these disciples had an undeniable opportunity. You can't even argue that. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you can say that you know if Jesus was there, with the opportunity he had, it looks easy to recognize. Can you see that?
Amen.
You see the opportunity?
Yeah.
It was 12 of them there. What about this guy? Did he recognize the opportunity? Did he recognize it? See, you might say, well, if it was that clear to me, I would be taking action. Well, Judas, it wasn't clear to him. It wasn't clear. See, he didn't understand the opportunity that was in front of him. See, I want you to turn to John 12 and 4. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 12. And we're going to start with the 4th verse. And if you don't have it, you can just look up at the screen. It's there. It says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Which was not, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Are you robbing yourself of opportunity today just like this? He had a bag, he only need a bag. Right? He's faking it, talking about some, well, why did we sell this oil? See, they were putting oil on Jesus. He's like, we could have sold this oil and gave money to the poor. But see, he was in charge of the money, so he's like, I'll bring that money over here. Let me take mine off top. Are you overlooking your talent? Are you overlooking your opportunity? Boy. See, we don't understand the opportunity that God gives us just like Judas, but it's easy to look at him and criticize him. But are you criticizing yourself? Are you criticizing yourself for not taking advantage of the opportunity he's giving you? Are you robbing yourself of opportunity just because you can't see it or it doesn't work out how you want it to work out?
Yeah.
I was thinking about golf. If you're 1% better than somebody else, you still get 100% more money. See, you think about that. 1% better than somebody else. And the prize money is 100% more. See, in your life, you start to worry about, well, man, I'm not this good at something. I'm not that at something. This person has just as much talent as I do. God can still make a way.
Yes, right.
He can still move, but we have to be able to see that sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, we got to start fooling ourselves. It's the last verse we're going to go to. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to go to the 14th. I want you to think about Judas and what he thought his opportunity was. Right? 26:14, it says, then one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest, and he said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted for him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he saw opportunity to betray him. He had the opportunity of a lifetime, and yet, for 30 pieces of silver, he decided, my real opportunity is to betray Jesus. See, what seems like a no-brainer like this, we put folks in the wrong place in our lives as well.
Yeah, right.
You know, in our lives, we put our focus in absolutely the wrong places, and we get off track. Let's go back to the beginning of this. I want you to think about this. Think about these people with this penny. I want you to think about the opportunity. See, opportunity sometimes wrapped up and in disguise. So I'm asking you, penny people, to work 10 hours a day for the next 31 days. Now, through day 10... man, you're going to come in here day 10, and you're going to make $5.12 for all day. Now, that's hard to do. You're like, man, I go to work and make more money than that. Right? Mm-hmm. Let's go day 11 through 20. Look at this. See, around day 14, it becomes not completely insulting what I'm asking you to do. You know, before that, it's completely insulting, right? By day 17, you can start to see a little light. And by day 20, you are rejoicing. But can you see the opportunity? See, that's for a day. This is a day's worth of work. $5,000 in a day's worth of work. What about day 21 through 25? Think about how it impossible to seem to make this kind of money in a year for some of you. Yet, you can make it after 23, 24, 25 days. Did you see the opportunity? Did you think about it? See, God made a way for you, but did you realize? See, now this represents all kind of things in your life. Now, I'll spare you the rest of the man, but on day 31, if you decide to work all day 31 days, $10
million.
$10 million.
Whoa.
But guess what? You're so busy worried about, I didn't get a million, I wasn't in the right seat, I wasn't this, I wasn't that. Oh my goodness. God gave you an opportunity to turn one penny into $10 million if you're willing to work. If you're willing to trust Him. If you're willing to know that He is the author.
Yeah,
right. Amen. Amen.
But do you recognize that today? Are you looking at it like that today? Are you trusting Him today? See, this number represents a lot of things in our lives. God knows what we need. See, God put you on this side for a reason. Now I'd like to ask, how does a millionaire feel? Knowing that this is the outcome, does that million still feel like enough? You're like, oh man, I could have had 10 million. See, that's what happens. We're so busy comparing to what we think somebody else have or what they should have or what they shouldn't have, that God is moving and blessing you in your life, but you are not realizing it. I know I'm not realizing it all the time. You know, I love God because He has a plan. We have to trust His plan and allow Him to move. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give God some praise this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And I'm going to ask you to think about all the things that God has done in your life. And I want you to think about maybe some of the opportunities that maybe you didn't see as opportunity. You know, just get Jesus on your mind this morning. Just get Him on your mind this morning. Let's lift Him up. Let's magnify Him. Let's get your heart on Him this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, Lord, standing here before You, Lord. Lord, we ask a lot of things of You, Lord. And I know sometimes we don't recognize the opportunity that You've given us. We want to take time, Lord, to be able to surrender to You right now, Lord. We surrender our hearts to You. We surrender our minds to You, Lord. And we turn over our blueprint and our plans to You, Lord. Because we know that it doesn't matter what we think. We just have to take action, Lord, and watch You show up and show out.
Yes, yes.
Lord, we ask right now that every mind here, Lord, is stayed up on You. And anything going on in our lives, Lord, that we turn it over right now. Lord, You see the financial burden some of us have, Lord. You see the relationship burdens in some of our lives, Lord. You see the spiritual burdens. You see all of these things, Lord. We eliminate our plans and we surrender to Yours. We cry out right now to You, oh God, because we know that Your plan is the only one that matters. Lord, we give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. You may be seated.